I've made this statement to church when I tell that story. I said, you know, today I'm going to take it. Today's Sunday, and today is time that we bring our offerings, you know, to the Lord. He said, give, you know. So I said, today I'm not going to pass the offering plate, which I really don't do that here anyway. But I said, I'm just going to let y'all come up, and I'm going to take the little box back here that we got for the donations. I'm going to put it up here, and we know God says you're supposed to be a tither. So I want you to put your money in your envelope, put your name on it, and come drop it in that box and thank God for the privilege to tithe. So I said, the first woman gets up and goes up and drops it in there, goes back, sets down. Next man gets up, comes up, puts his in there and drops back. Another man gets up and comes up here, puts his in, and starts back to his seat, and he falls down dead. I go over and check him. He's dead. Open the box, and I pick it up, and I say, oh, this man gave $10. Anybody know who he is? Somebody said, yeah, I know he makes $1,000 a week. Oh, so he lied to God. He only gave God 10. He owed God 100. I said, okay, somebody take him out. I said, next. Next. I said, I will have to say, if there was anybody else come back up and put that money in that bucket, I bet you it'd be a tithe, don't you? I mean, nobody in their right mind would do that a second time around, would we, Bill? If God showed up to say, hey, when I said tithe, girls and guys, I meant tithe. I mean, if y'all don't know what a tithe is, that's 10%. So see, that's a sin unto death, wasn't it? Now see, if he wasn't merciful, how many of us in our life probably have gone without tithing? I don't think there's a human being that's ever done that. You know, I mean, I didn't even know I was supposed to tithe for years in the church. But God tells us in his word what we're supposed to do. And then, after we have the knowledge of the truth, he expects us to do what he says. But he's still awful merciful. But he says, "He all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, there's that kicker. When people say, I mean, I was raised up in a church where they said, you know, there's nobody can go through life without sinning. We sin regularly every day. And one day I began to see these kind of things all over the Word. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. I said, well, that tells me one thing about my church. Me and nobody down there are saved. We're all lost. I guess we all need to get saved. That's scary, isn't it? But, of course, I did do a little research on that, and I found out he says that true children of God don't practice sinning. Well, I don't practice sinning, and I don't want to sin at all. I want to walk holy and obedient to the King's Word, don't you, brother?
Yes, sir.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one. Now, who do you think the wicked one is? The devil and his host of demons. The Lord says he made, in the book of Proverbs, he said, I made the wicked for punishment. What does that mean? I read that over and over and over. And he made the wicked for punishment. You read that. You say, Lord, I got to have a revelation on this. What does it mean? You made the wicked. Well, son, who is the wicked? Who did he say the wicked one was right here? The devil. So if he made the wicked, I mean, did Jesus really make the devil and his demons? I mean, did he really do that? Does the scripture say in Colossians that everything that was, and 1 John, I mean in John chapter 1, does it say that everything that was made by him and for him, and nothing exists, whether it made by him, whether it be principalities, dominions, powers, visible or invisible, if it was made, he made it, and he made it for his glory and for his purpose. Is that what he says? So who made the devil and his demons? The Lord did. What did he make them for? His purpose. So if he made, if right here he says, and that wicked one touches him not. So in other words, if Satan cannot touch him, he calls him the wicked there. Then if he says in the book of Proverbs, the wicked he made for punishment, then if he made the wicked or made Satan for punishment, who's he going to punish? Disobedient people. That's what he made him for. Isn't that something? That's a little more than some people can stomach. God would never do such a thing. He's loving and kind. Yes, I'll agree. He's very loving. He's very kind. He's very merciful. And if there was any of us on this earth got what we deserved, there wouldn't be none of us left. We all know that, don't we? We all know we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But once we got saved, we're supposed to stop that nonsense. We're supposed to be children of God now. But he says, we know that whosoever is born of God, how often are you supposed to sin? Not at all, right? Not at all. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he that is begotten of God, he keeps himself. No, but you act like a son of God. And when you do that, then the wicked one cannot touch you. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now I want to turn to 1 Peter 2:21. And I want to show you how we can walk in divine health. 1 Peter 2:21. I want to show you what it takes to walk in divine health. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called. Now who's he talking to? All of us. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Somebody says, well, that's he was God. But I have to disagree with you. He was a man. When he came to this earth, he laid down his deity and became a man. The scripture said, just like you and me, yet without sin. He was showing us what we could do if we would walk by the power of the Spirit. He said, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin. So if that was his example that he left for you and me, and he did no sin, what is the goal for you and me? No sin. I mean, you got to begin to think like God to even think that you can get there. Because we've been so trained, so wrong, so long by so many people that, hey, we're just sinners saved by grace. You know, we're going to sin every day, all day. It's impossible for me to walk without sin. Have we ever heard that? Lots. But that's not true. The goal or the standard for a Christian is the Word. And how much sin is there to be in our life? Zero. Now then, it pays good dividends. It says that we should follow his steps who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Ooh. See, I almost have, in fact, I remember when we were down in South Texas, down there on the Gulf Coast, I was teaching in a little church down there, and there was a guy sitting over here, and when I made this statement, he stood up and he said, sir, you mean there's not supposed to be any guile come out of my mouth? I said, well, sir, it's what the Word says. He said, there's only one way. He said, I'm a contractor by trade. He said, there's only one way that could happen. And that is if you were to take about two or three layers of two-inch duct tape and wrap it around my head where I couldn't open my mouth. That's the only way I could meet that. Well, if that's what it takes for a little while, the consequences, or the dividends, I should say, is going to be fantastic. So if it takes putting the duct tape around your mouth till you learn how to do this, then put it around there, if that's what it takes. He says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23 and 24. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, you might be able to go a good ways till somebody gets on your case. You might be able to contain your tongue until they hurt you, till they threaten you and then make you suffer. Almost nobody can do that. I mean, you might be okay, might be able to hold your tongue until they hit you or they threaten you. I think of a woman one night that came in, and her husband come in drunk. And she got on his case pretty heavy. And he probably well deserved it, but that doesn't make any difference. He said some kind of a nasty comment to her after she said something, and she reached up and slapped him. And when she did, he hit her with a fist, knocked her over a table, and almost broke her back. She called the cops. And they come, and guess who they took to jail? Her. Not him. Took her to jail. Isn't that something? You know, it's very hard when your husband comes in drunk to be submissive and to be quiet, spirited, and gentle and say, Lord, I turn him over to you. I can't do nothing with him anyway. That really takes a woman to do that, doesn't it? Really takes a woman. I mean, that woman's got to know God. She's really got to be in the Word, or she ain't never going to go there. And she may know quite a bit of the Word, but if she retaliates, she don't know this Word. She definitely don't believe it's true. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. When they beat Jesus and everything else they did to him, did he retaliate? That's just like one day a precious, beautiful little lady that I prayed over and got both her knees healed and all kinds of stuff. And her husband worked for a big organization. He was a six-figure income, vice president of an organization, a big one. And after she got her knees healed, she's trying to tell him about Jesus. Now, he's a Southern Baptist. You know, not a very good one at that, because he's too involved in his work. So she's telling him about how wonderful Jesus is. Well, he never heard about the healing power of Jesus. So he's giving her a hard time. And the more she tries to convince him, the more he comes against her. So one day she calls and she wants to come out and talk to me. Okay, so she come out here. We were in the kitchen, and when she come in, she was crying, fussing about her husband. And after she fussed a little while, crying and everything else, I finally told her, I said, woman, take your blouse off. I want to see your back. She said, what? I said, yeah, take your blouse off. I want to see your back. She said, what do you want to see? I said, I want to see your stripes. If he's abused you that much, I want to see how he's abused you. Why, she said, Thurman, he hadn't hit me yet.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.